You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm thrilled to have my guest, Timothy Glenn, return. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulling, without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So, let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
Well, I'm recovering from having some teeth pulled, so I might try to coax you to do most of the talking tonight.
Ooh,
but we'll pretend like not everything's normal. We'll just call it Abby normal.
Whatever suffices for normal. Okay.
I mentioned on the last show before we got started what an incredible soul purpose reading that you did for me early in May, and it was really a blockbuster reading, and I've had several friends who have had readings by you who just raved about them. So I wanted to put that out there for people, you know, in case they're wondering, because I usually don't find such a resonance with readings, and yours resonated, out of the box, really. So I just wanted to let people know that it's quite a spectacular process, and you combine astrology and tarot, numerology, and esoteric Pythagorean mathematics, right?
Well,
that's a mouthful.
Yeah. But I have to apologize to quite a few of the people who've been trying to get readings lined up because I got so slammed on top of my regular schedule, on top of moving.
Oh, right.
I just moved out of my residence this afternoon, and I'm between places right now. And so it's going to take a little while until I get set up and have my communications and so on and so forth. So please, folks, be patient. And
Well, it's a good thing that we had a chance to mention that. And also, where you're staying, you said you have six dogs there?
Yeah, six of them. They're fun. Yeah, my friend travels quite a bit, and so I like to do the dog sitting and house sitting here.
Nice, nice.
So, yeah.
Well, now, I'm kind of curious to find out what kind of feedback you got from the show last time, and which... Was there anything in particular that stirred people's interest or imagination or other thoughts?
Well, the two things that got the strongest response turned out to be our discussion of the moon, being our moon.
Mm-hmm.
That triggered a lot with people, and a lot of people had read about it, but for some reason, as soon as they heard our discussion of it, it just like it clicked for them.
Mm-hmm.
It was that
mm-hmm.
aha. And also our discussion of the nature of the matrix and what we are typically perceiving is not really the natural universe, but it's actually this artificially created and projected hologram that we often simply call the matrix. And there are quite a few people out there who use the term the false light universe.
Right.
That's an interesting term.
Right. Well, yes. And my friend George Gavassilis pretty much has been talking about this for many years now. And quite a few other people are also starting to open up the discussion about the false light, the universe. But, you know, that's nothing new. It goes all the way back to the Gnostic Gospels and into the Bible. If you look at the Gnostic Gospels, they talk about a false light universe that was created by a creation between the Divine Mother and the Divine Aeon, and I believe it was her child, who was unaware that there was a real universe or a real creation behind him. And so he established his creation as a duplicate or a duplication of the real universe. And so, I mean, this goes way, way back, and I'm sure you probably have some thoughts on it, too. And
yeah,
the Proterians.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's not forget about your wonderful friends, the Proterians.
Yeah, a lot of people ask about the Proterian channelings. And since the material is not available online yet, my friends and I are going to buckle down and set up a website, and we're going to make sure that channeling sessions are available for downloading. We've probably got about 15 or 20 different sessions that are recorded, and they're long sessions. The Proterians will just go forever.
Oh, I love it.
it's usually about 3 hours.
Wow.
But they don't live in what they refer to as the TikTok reality. So the time doesn't mean anything to them. You know, we are pretty much enslaved by time. In fact, back in the early 90s when I was first channeling these beings, they used to say that to them, things like space and time are toys.
Mm.
And they play with these toys.
Mm-hmm.
And they use these toys to create all kinds of wonderful worlds, matrices, if you will, where they can go in and play.
Mm.
And the difference they saw between themselves and us is we are enslaved by our toys.
Mm.
You know, seeing linear time and linear space as simply toys, why are we so enslaved to them?
Mm-hmm.
So they ask a lot of questions in the channeling sessions.
Well, that's
they
a
welcome
good
all questions from. Yeah, they welcome all questions from the Earthlings, and they love to banter with the Earthlings. So they welcome all questions, but guarantee no answers. Because often they haven't got a clue what we're talking about.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they look at us and they are completely baffled, and they have determined that we are Intergalactic Comedy Central. because here we are, these magnificent beings, and they see us as 12-dimensional beings of just spectacular light and just amazing creative powers, and look what we're creating. It has to be a joke.
Right, right. Right. Well, you know, I think we mentioned in the last show, too, that that we're 12-dimensional beings in a 9-dimensional matrix, which has convinced us that we're third-dimensional beings limited to 2D and 1D, and certainly not any higher than 4D, and 5D is almost out of the question.
Yeah, and, yeah, the Proterian perspective is that we perceive ourselves as these 3D creatures, and once we get into 4D, what we're actually experiencing is still within the matrix, and
mm-hmm.
4D is basically the recycling department.
Mm-hmm.
Because most of the focus is getting you ready for that next life in 3D.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And the vast majority of people don't have it together enough to go beyond to 5 or 6 or wherever else, even within the matrix, and so they just are on that hamster wheel of karma and reincarnation.
And that explains a lot about why so many people feel like this has all happened over and over and over, and why it continues to happen over and over historically. You know, the cycles just keep repeating, and everything keeps repeating, and I would think that even the controllers would be bored with everything, except that, of course, they get to be controlling things, supposedly, but who's in control if it's all if it's all enmeshed in mechanicality?
Right. And are they really in control? Are they really in their own power and authority?
Right.
I mean, like here, even here in the midst of the humans, if you have anybody messing with you and you ask by what authority are you messing with me, and they'll immediately turn around and point to somebody else. Well, they elected me. Oh, well, they appointed me. Oh, well, they hired me. It's my job.
Yep.
And so even those who are wielding what they consider to be power are not really in their own power.
No. Yeah. So much is placed where it's supposed to be, you know, by the Matrix. It's pretty much things that happen are not, there's no accidents, in other words.
Yeah, you know, I have a couple friends who like to specialize in between-life regression.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to remember the lives is one thing, but going back to remember the time between lives as you prepared, it's amazing the detail to which the soul will go into in order to set up its next life.
Mm-hmm. Mm, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, when there's that much planning that goes into it, usually there is not such a thing as an accident or a coincidence.
Right.
And aside from that, there are the souls working together on other levels, and what we're experiencing in 3D is basically the play out of what goes on the other levels.
Mm-hmm.
Just like physically, we're pretty much a readout of our psychological states. If you get into the mind-body world of medicine there, it's pretty interesting the way that our mental and emotional experiences will play out in the body.
Mm. Well, now, all of this is supposed to come to some kind of head, isn't it? I mean, we're rushing headlong into all kinds of pivotal moments, and many which are said to be the end of many ages and the beginning of another age. So what is going to be on the horizon for people to look for in terms of their own creation? I think we talked a little bit about how important it is to create a vision for ourselves.
And we look at all these events culminating now, and we realize, it's the end of an age, and yes, we can have the beginning of a different kind of age or different kind of world, completely different kind of reality. We can step out. We can completely regain our freedom simply as divine creative beings. Now imagine not being tied down to any specific dimension or set of dimensions, not being tied down to any cosmic plane or any universe, but being completely free to go anywhere and manifest yourself as any kind of being you want. See, that's freedom.
Mm-hmm.
To Proletarian, mm-hmm. That's freedom.
Right.
So the earthlings the earthlings don't seem to have much of a clue of what real freedom is. It's like most earthlings, if you get into talking with them about such concepts, what they end up describing is a lesser degree of servitude.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And not true freedom.
Right.
And they're always
right.
talking about still being trapped, even though they don't understand that they are trapped. But those are the easiest people to keep enslaved, the ones who mistakenly believe that they're free.
Right, exactly. And
now, you love the Matrix films.
Yeah.
Okay, now, so you love the Matrix films, and remember...
Yeah, go ahead.
We're getting a little of our echo there. Okay, you're really into the Matrix films. And remember, in the beginning of the first film, Morpheus was explaining to Neo that he simply wanted to give him the truth. And when asked what truth, he said, that you are a slave, Neo. We have been enslaved in so many ways, it's just boggling.
Yeah.
But now we're
coming
to a juncture where we have the opportunity to make a quantum leap in evolution and to open up our consciousness, and then we really can step forth as the creative beings we truly are. And so much of that is simply tuning out what doesn't resonate and shifting our attention and our hearts and minds toward what truly does resonate with us. Mm-hmm. And open up those imaginations. You know, we're living in this thing called infinity. I think there are a few possibilities out there we might not have thought of yet.
Possibly. And, you know, one of the things that seems to put a damper on creativity and imagination is our constant and incessant need to chatter on about things with texting and cell phones and who's wearing this and what movie star did what and, you know, this and that and the other thing. And it seems like an incessant babble is keeping us from hearing the subtle messages that connect us to our soul and our spirit.
Yeah. You see, the Matrix is playing a game of distraction. And what they're trying to distract us from is ourselves.
Right.
You know, you may have noticed that the voice of your spirit speaks very softly.
Yes.
And you can hear it best when you're very still, when you're very calm. And as you know, things like the voice of addiction can speak very loudly.
Mm-hmm.
The voice of addiction can really get your attention. And often it'll be saying something like, "No, I'm your spirit. I really am honest." Yeah, right. Yeah, so with all this, all the babble that you're talking about there going on, it's like, wow, who really, in the midst of all of that, if that's what they're tuned into, who is really going to go within and really unleash the divine creative power that's within them? If they're so concerned about what somebody is wearing 1,000 miles away, or what they wore last Tuesday.
Right. Or what everybody else is thinking about them.
Yeah. Well, I like that old AA expression. What you think of me is none of my business.
Yeah, you're right. That's a good one. You know, I like that one, too.
Yeah. So the game here, again, is a game of distraction. And people then are more externally oriented. Their consciousness is constantly going out there and basing their reality on what they're seeing and hearing externally in the midst of the babble.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if you're turning to the major corporate propaganda machine, you're probably not going to get accurate information or pertinent information, and that's going to be a whole lot of stuff, especially what they call the news. It's just designed to keep people in fear, make people angry, make them feel powerless.
Mm-hmm.
So perhaps tuning all of that out would help people a lot, although millions upon millions upon millions are tuning that out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the major corporate television propaganda system, you know, their viewership has been dropping through the years.
Well, they keep pandering to the lowest possible denominator, and then when you toss in commercials and the rest of it, I mean, even an idiot could, you know, gets tired of that stuff and says, "Oh, wait a minute. Just a darn minute here. I'm not that stupid, or am I? Let me think about that."
Yeah. Now, I think one of the fun perspectives from the Proterian channelings is that here in the Matrix, well, we came here for a reason. There is a purpose for the soul to come in here and do what it's doing. And one of the possibilities presented is that we then come in here and we hack into the mainframe of the Matrix. And we reprogram it to suit ourselves. Because if you look around at this so-called reality that we've been living here, there's amazing potential in it. This could be a really cool world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And most basic thing is, well, let's just shift it over into being love-based instead of fear-based.
Mm.
But if you think of how wonderful this could be, and you think of the possibilities that are not far-fetched, like being immortal beings. You know, as a divine soul, you're immortal.
Mm-hmm.
Simply as part of the universe. You're immortal. So why would you consciously create a world to experience mortality? Well, we've done that, and we've decided it sucks.
Right.
And so yeah, it's like, okay, we're simply ready to shift into more of what we truly are.
Yeah.
And so as conscious co-creators of a new Earth, well, does it make any sense to include flaws?
No.
And problems, dysfunctions?
No.
Right. That doesn't resonate at all. Wait, as far as I can see, we've already done that.
Yeah.
We painted the town brown with that one.
Right. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, and it's simply a matter of shifting our focus, shifting our consciousness, and ultimately it's coming from a place of that divine, unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the bottom line.
Well, that sounds
so
good
to start
me.
Off in, yeah. Yeah, sounds real good, huh?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll vote yes. Yeah. Yeah, so the game that's going on externally is just that. It's just a game. And if they can persuade us that it's real, well then, all right, we're creating some problems for ourselves.
Hmm.
Yeah. Now, according to the Proterians, the so-called dark side only has one power. Sometimes people would say it looks like two powers, but it's two different expressions, one internal and one external. The internal expression of the power of deception is the ability to deceive themselves into believing that they're really just these nasty creatures that they're pretending to be.
Hmm.
And they deceive themselves to the point that they believe their own lies, their lies about themselves, their lies about us and the universe, etc. So, yes, they can deceive themselves into really believing that that's who and what they are, and they can tap into the universe to empower that. And then, externally, again, it's only deception. They don't have the power to hurt us unless we acquiesce. So if they can deceive us into believing they have the power, mm-hmm. well, the moment we believe, we just gave them the power through the belief.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And we've been believing. How long do you think we've been believing them?
Well, probably since the beginning of time.
Yeah. Yeah. Some people would say millennia. Some would say millions
easily.
Of years. Who knows?
Yeah, hundreds of millions of years.
Yes, and perhaps on other planets as well?
Exactly.
And other types of realities? Yeah.
Exactly. Now, what does a Proterian say about other galactic empires? Let's say, the Federations of Light or the Galactic Federation of Light or, this and that and the other thing. There seems to be a consensus that there are many older galactic civilizations that have a kind of a more conservative outlook and that actually have an interest in what happens here, and that there are a lot of players vying for our attention and for our next reality as it's created.
Yeah, now the Proterian perspective is that there are countless federations, and they have various federations right here in this galaxy, and the Proterians like to refer to this as an ordinary, run-of-the-mill backwater galaxy. So we don't get all carried away thinking that our galaxy is the most important thing there is.
Right.
And there are endless galaxies, and so there are councils that are formed to help play the game here on Earth and a lot of them are simply trying to help us get into the divine love, divine light, divine power, etc., so that we can actually become what we already are. And so these councils get together, and there are councils that are, every representative on the council actually represents a different council. So we have councils of councils. And the vast, vast, vast majority are what we would term benevolent.
But those are not necessarily the ones that are in operation in our world.
Well, no. You see, there seems to be this prime directive type thing going on out there. And as Proterian puts it, the human race still has the no trespassing sign out. The collective of the humans on planet Earth still don't believe there are others. I mean, that isn't, I know, this is astounding that people actually think this is it. And they like to question that there would be intelligent life elsewhere. And, of course, we question, is there intelligent life here?
Right. Yes, that's a big question among thinkers here today.
Yeah, there are infinite gradations of everything. And so a few months ago in one of the channeling sessions, what came out was that, you know, the average, let's say the average human IQ is about 100. Now, if you had these other creatures who had average IQs of one-third of that, so they're all like early, low 30s, how hard would it be for the humans to manipulate and control those other beings? If their intelligence quotient is only one-third of what humans.
It seems like it would be fairly easy.
It would. And it was mentioned that Dr. Richard Boylan back in the 90s came to the determination that the average so-called gray alien would have an IQ, in our terms of measurement, of approximately 300.
Ooh.
So how hard is it for them to manipulate us?
Probably pretty easy.
And then, of course, probably pretty easy, right? And then, those are just flunkies. You know, they're grunt level. They're working for the people with the 900 IQs.
Right.
Who, in turn, are working for people with IQs of 2,700. Mm-hmm. Who are working for people who have IQs of 8,100. Just round that off to 8,000. Okay, they're working for people with IQs of 24,000. And so on and so forth. Yes. I mean, where does it stop? What's the highest IQ that somebody is permitted to have in the infinitude? Where's the stop sign? Yeah, we don't know. Is there such a thing?
Well, it's clear to me we need an IQ machine. That'll do it.
There we go.
Well, there was an Outer Limits episode with one of the guys from Man from U.N.C.L.E. who was taken into the future, and he becomes more and more intellectual, and he grows a sixth finger, and his head becomes larger, and his eyes become larger, and, of course, he begins to see how puny man is, and then he starts killing people. So I suppose that could be a pattern that we see in operation here on planet Earth.
Yeah, it's the runaway intellect without the development of the heart and the spirit to go with it. So the most important thing is to create from the space of divine love. So you see, in an episode like that, what they're illustrating is how easy it is for the typical human to go into judgmentalism and start acting out on it. And so when it comes to these other creatures, these other beings out here, reptilians or archons or whatever people want to call them, doesn't matter. Well, that's just part of the universe, too. That's part of the infinitude. It's simply a part of the infinitude that does not resonate with us in the current reality, and so we would simply like to stop participating
Mm-hmm.
Tune that out and simply shift our awareness and our creative energy into the new earth. Because we came here to hijack it. It's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. You know, there's lots of great stuff here. So, fine. We'll just hack into the mainframe of the Matrix. We'll reprogram it to suit ourselves and have the lives that we would love to have here. And it also includes the ability to shift in and out of this reality as we choose.
Mm-hmm.
Because why would you create a reality in which you would be trapped?
I have no idea.
Except that we've done it, so...
Yes, and I think about this every day. Why on earth did we do this? This has got to be... We've got to make a correction here. So,
yeah.
A number of us have come in to hijack it. Would you say that many are aware of this and more are becoming aware from what you can see?
Yeah, it's really encouraging. And in doing readings for people, often I'll be laying it out in their chart. It's like spelled out very clearly, especially once you get into that deeper Pythagorean numerology. It's like, wow, okay, this is a divine hacker here. All right, here we go. And some people, you know, haven't really come to terms with it because, you know, it's like they can't allow themselves to believe it.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yeah.
But when they realize it's all spelled out in a mathematical grid, and it's specifically like their big dream, then they open up to it, and they're able to embrace it more.
Now that's a mathematical.
So I'm seeing it all over the place.
Are you? Yeah. Yeah. And when you speak of a mathematical grid, you're talking about a mathematical grid that's outside the Matrix. That's a finer energy that is in operation, a higher dimensional energy?
Well, yeah. Let's say it's both within the Matrix and beyond it.
Okay.
Well, it's like that thing from the New Testament about being in the world but not of it.
Right, right.
So what a lot of people are waking up to now is, yes, they are in the world. However, they are not of this world. In
mm-hmm.
fact, they are in a position where they can come in to greater awareness of their divine creative abilities, and they can even shift this world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So it's getting to be an interesting game. And in the midst of all of this, even within the perspective of being a human in 3D planet Earth here, you know, we have massive things going on, and there are world-changing effects all over the place. You know, we've got the influences astrologically as well. And the biggie playing out right now is the planet Uranus forming that square to Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a game changer. And in fact, we first connected when you read some of my stuff on Uranus square Pluto. It's up to 6 articles in the series now.
Mm.
Because I hearken back to when they were conjunct in the sky, and that was a wild time called the 60s.
Mm.
And that was the primary astrological influence that gave us what we call the 60s.
Mm.
And so now that Uranus has gone far enough ahead so that it's squaring Pluto, whatever was birthed at the conjunction is being called forth into action and being put to the test. And it's kind of like, you know, the gauntlet's being thrown here. Look at all that idealism of the 60s. Did you really mean that? Show us.
Mm.
So it's a time of incredible opportunity opening for us. And we're not limited to any specific possibility. You know, we have different possibilities outlined for us by different beings. And, yeah, they're all possibilities, and we could do any or all of them. And more than we can even think of now. You know, everybody has their vision of what heaven on earth would be like, and by the time we have completely manifested that, it probably won't look like any of those visions.
Right.
It'll be
right.
Yeah, it'll be so far beyond.
Right. Well, now for...
Now, have you noticed...
Go ahead. Well, I was just wondering if you have a time frame on the on this bookend period, the Uranus-Pluto conjunction. We're in it now, and if the 60s lasted, what, about 4, 5, 6 years, and this is the bookend to it, I haven't really seen anything that that seems to give evidence to that, except just little inklings of movements that have to do with permaculture and biodiversity and that. It's not a dramatic period yet. Are things just kind of heating up, or what's going on?
Yeah, it's a buildup. In fact, we won't have the seventh and final exact square of Uranus to Pluto until March 16th of 2015. And after that time, it's like, okay, the energies can really be unleashed. There's nothing more to wait for. So that's when we're definitely over the hump and not yet out of the woods, but definitely got through the tougher part, because the shift is really taking place deeper within us.
Mm-hmm,
because it shifts there first in order
right.
for us to be able to shift things externally.
And then so many people are holding the energy of that shift within them and not necessarily manifesting in the outer world, but holding the space for that shift. And so as more people awaken to their inner qualities, that combines to create a kind of a telepathic highway or emergence of thoughts that are unified and able to cross time and space and communicate with each other telepathically and empathically and so on and so forth, which would naturally lead to transparency. If you can read a politician's mind and you can tell that they're not thinking exactly what they're speaking, of course, that's kind of a standing joke. How can you tell when a politician is lying when they're speaking?
yes.
So I think everybody's got that one down. I mean, you know, there are a few people probably that believe that stuff, but and then the religions. We've got all the religions going on too, and the corporations, and they all seem to be hand in hand. So there's a lot to dissolve before we can get
ultimately.
Down to, yeah.
Yeah, ultimately, it's all one system there.
Yeah.
But according to Protarian, long ago, the quote-unquote controllers decided they wanted to be able to control humanity, and so it took them many millennia to do this, but they were able to crush the sense of resonance that is so natural to people. Because if everybody had a sense of resonance that was active and accurate, well, who on earth would believe any of the religions? Who would fall for any of the corporate nonsense? Who would fall for the various forms of government? Who would believe any of it? Because that's one of the things that's happening now, is the sense of resonance is becoming stronger and stronger in people, which is why the system is so desperate to create more and more forms of control and all the different types of energy interference in people's minds, et cetera, because they don't want people being able to simply say, man, this just doesn't cut it.
Right.
So with a very active sense of resonance, you've got a different reality then.
And with the chaos removed that's technological and psychic and the rest of it, there's so much interference going on that, you know, people, as you said, it's like an earthly maze here. Everything is designed to take us off our, you know, off onto some false path or, you know, a branch that goes nowhere. And this is the time when, you know, we need to be aligned with a branch that's authentic, our true selves, and not our lower self.
Yeah. And so much of what's out there are these shiny toys. People want the shiny toys. Look at the shiny toys. Well, it's all just the distraction.
Yep.
So it's a fascinating game, but consciousness creates everything. And as we become more aware of just what consciousness we already have within us, then we can't help but shift this reality.
Mm-hmm.
So the co-creation of this new earth is going to be a wild ride, because there are so many people who are into it, and they're not really doing much externally. And I think that's part of what we tend to get caught up in, is we keep looking for external signs of a shift that's happening within.
Mm.
And a lot of what we don't see says a lot, because we see a lot of people not participating in various aspects of the matrix. There are so many people who are having trouble in the matrix because a great part of them is already living in the new earth. A lot of people have a foot in each world.
Right, right, and that creates a very difficult kind of tension. Yes.
And so a lot of the there are so many of them. It's It's actually inspiring, because there are so many people out there who are simply doing less and less and less externally, because they don't recognize it as real with a capital R.
Mm-hmm.
So they're focusing on what is real to them, and that's what some people would call heaven on earth.
Mm.
So we may not see a lot of external signs as the shift really progresses here.
Mm-hmm.
Less and less participation, less and less support for the system, etc. And, of course, the system gets all the more desperate then.
And more attempts to clamp down and survey and, intrude and the rest of it. And then that creates its own backlash. So it seems like we should see some kind of coming to a head of things over the next year or two.
Yeah. You know, we are nearing what we would call critical mass. And for a lot of people, it's really palpable at this time. We can really feel it. It's like so close.
Mm-hmm.
But once we hit that critical mass, then things really go. And then
right.
we would expect to see lots of external shifting.
Yes. Yes. It may even be similar to the movie V for Vendetta, where V tips the first domino and all the dominoes fall. Everything is being set up, and it seems that there will be a moment in which something triggers another event, and boom, the dominoes start to fall. And because everything is interconnected and entangled at the quantum level. So you can't just isolate
something. Once it starts to go.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So as once it starts to go, oh boy, it's like going over the top of that first hill of the roller coaster.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Or
right.
it'll be like
That's
having
another
a,
fun.
Yeah, having a sweater where somebody's holding on to one of the threads, and it's coming undone, and we end up unraveling and being naked when it's all done. They're like the Emperor's New Clothes.
Yeah, it's just stripping away the old illusions.
Yeah. So what else can you tell us about the astrology or about the times that we're in right now?
Well, one of the fun things is that we do have a nice long transit of Pluto in Capricorn. And back when Pluto was first working its way into the sign of Capricorn, I wrote an article called Global Metamorphosis and dug it out again, I don't know, last year, maybe it was last year, and I sent it to our good friend Laura Bruno, and she posted that on her blog. You can find it on Laura Bruno's blog. and just in search, just type in global metamorphosis. And one thing I had mentioned there, and I think that was 2008 when I wrote that, because that's when Capricorn did its triple transit over the cusp, moving into the good old sign of Capricorn. And one of the things that I pointed to was the time, and we're in that time right now, when Saturn would be in Scorpio. So these two planets are in what we call mutual reception. Pluto, Lord of the Underworld, who handles all deep, dark, hidden secrets, is in the sign of Capricorn, which has everything to do with the public, so it's all out in the public eye. So Pluto in Capricorn would tend to take the secrets, things that are hidden, and bring them out into the public view. Mm. And then the ruler of Capricorn, Saturn, for a little over 2.5 years here, is hanging out in Scorpio, which is ruled by Pluto. So since they're in the signs ruled by each other, they're in what we call mutual reception. So this is like having the Inspector General from Capricorn going down into the underworld to dig the stuff out.
Oh.
So those two planets are really working together.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So this exposes lots of things, and it's not simply a matter of leaks about government corruption and so forth. It's uncovering things within ourselves.
Ah, interesting. What do you think some of the most likely uncoverings might be?
The most likely is that we discover who and what we really are.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, the uncovering of the actual human history here.
Oh, yes, and that we're not limited beings having a even more limited experience rounded by a death.
Yes, because when we go deep, deep within ourselves and we find what's been there the whole time, okay, that changes the entire approach to things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I like to play with the idea and suggest this to people. Imagine being yourself in the same embodiment on this planet, only the difference is there is not a single person living on this planet who would even think of trying to interfere with you fulfilling your dreams.
Mm.
And beyond that, you're surrounded by people who would love to get co-creative with you and help you fulfill your dreams.
Mm. I like that one.
Okay. And that's not far-fetched.
No.
Maybe to the average matrix unit, it's crazy and way out there. But for us and for most of your listeners, that's not far out. Most of your audience would say, well, yeah, obviously, go for it.
Right, right.
Because I had a lot of feedback from people who really loved the discussion of the false light universe and, of course, the moon and so forth. And, you know, wide open to all this. So you've got an aware audience. They've got their eyes open. And as we all go through this, it's just going to be more and more and more being unveiled. And this is really what the apocalypse is. Apocalypse doesn't have anything to do with disaster. That was just tacked on later. It's a revelation, you know, like the last book of the New Testament. Some people call it the book of Revelations, and some call it the apocalypse. It's the same thing. The calypso is like the veil. So the apocalypse is the unveiling. It's removing the veil. That's all it is. So we are heading into seriously apocalyptic times where we discover so much about who and what we truly are, and we find out what the history has been in the game, in the matrix, etc., and then we will find ourselves, for the most part, to be really uninterested because that's just what happened in the matrix.
Right, right, right.
And then we're not concerned with that. And it is right. Getting easier and easier for people to simply dismiss the energies that come up. you know, the old memories come up and all the yucky feelings with them and blah, 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 issues are triggered, etc. And the people are able to simply let it go. And some people are getting really good. It's just graceful. It's like something comes up and you realize it's just an old Matrix program. And it ends up being as easy as clicking on uninstall.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And when something comes up and you recognize it's not really you and it doesn't have any essence, it's just an old Matrix program, well, it just lost most of its power right there.
Yeah. And I found a lot of thoughts, self-deprecation, depression, all of the things that have a tendency to be negative or take me down are not mine. And so it's easy to say, oh, okay, that's not mine. And the second you acknowledge it, it's gone because it isn't yours. You know, we're naturally enthusiastic and curious and communicative and loving and caring. And so all of those things that are not positive attributes, we can easily say, okay, that's not mine. That doesn't belong to me.
Yeah. And so the more we continue to open and unfold here, the more we're going to find that we have accepted so many things that really were not part of us. It's like, you always thought those were your thoughts. Well, maybe not. You always felt that those were your feelings. Well, maybe not.
Maybe not.
And some of it, so much of that is just, you know, it came about through the socialization process, growing up in the Matrix and all of that other rubbish. And when that stuff comes up now, you realize, like what you just described, it has no essence.
Right.
And as you become more aware of your true essence, and something like that comes up, then it's easy for you to feel you have essence. It doesn't.
Right, exactly.
So what power does it have? It only had power that you assigned to it because you had been deceived.
Mm-hmm.
You thought it was real with a capital R.
Yep.
But now you realize it doesn't have the same charge that it used to because your sensitivity levels are at a point where you realize it has no essence at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I love this one little analogy from the Proterian folks, and that is, you may have had an issue that used to seem bigger than life. It was huge. Every time it got triggered, it engulfed you. This issue towered over you.
Hmm.
Well, the question then comes out, you keep growing. You keep expanding. Does the issue grow and expand?
Mm.
Is it a living conscious thing, or is it just an issue? Well, it doesn't grow. It doesn't expand. It's not expanding its consciousness, so it's not growing with you. So eventually, you're taller than it is. Next thing you know, it only comes up to your shoulder. Next thing you know, it's waist high, knee high, ankle high, and ultimately, the way it plays out in the picture of your life, that issue is one pixel in the background.
I like that.
And then, of course, the question comes out, now, living in that life, where that issue is nothing but one pixel in the background of the picture of your life, are you going to stop and tell everybody, I hate that pixel back there. That pixel, oh, that's the worst pixel ever. I can't stand that pixel. Here, let me get a magnifying glass and hold that up so you can see which pixel I'm talking about. That one right there, I hate that pixel. You probably wouldn't waste your time and energy doing that.
Right. Probably not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, maybe not the best way to invest your energy, huh?
Right. What do you think is something that has come through the Proterians that might be, that will surprise people about our reality here?
Well, surprise. I don't know about surprise because, again, you've got a listenership that's pretty aware. And so the only type of thing that is surprising is for people to realize that we are creating our reality and our consciousness, we allowed it to be hijacked. And so by taking this now into ourselves, it's like, okay, now we're becoming the creative beings we've always been, and we will be surprised at what we are capable of creating.
Ah.
And not too far down the road, we will be blown away at our own capabilities.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, that sounds like a wonderful place to kind of segue into the end of the show. If you were just about at the last of the moments, and that's such a positive vision of the future, that it's a nice place for you to share any final thoughts that you might like to have with us, and then where we can find you in your move.
In my move. Yes, well, I have to finish the move first, the physical move down here
right. In
the Matrix-type reality part of it. And so you can still find my little website, Soul, that's S-O-U-L, soulpurposereadings.com. And I will get myself resituated and have a nice, good, solid landline someplace where I can actually sit down and do the readings again. And I'm also then looking into another kind of technology that's going to help people who like to use Skype and so forth. But I want something that's really solid and dependable, especially for doing the readings. You don't want the energy disrupted.
Right, right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
Yeah.
Well, Timothy, I want to thank you again for showing up and sharing and bringing the Praetorian wisdom into our lives as well. And I wish you the best on your move, and I look forward to talking to you again real soon. I hope it won't be too terribly long from now.
Yeah. All righty, and thank you.
All right. All right, well, that's it, everybody. Good night, and thank you for listening.